Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, November the 28th. So, do you think liberals, progressives, people who are on the left of the political spectrum, have been smearing President Bush, smearing the U.S. military, smearing big business, smearing people of faith, especially Christians? Well, our guest does, and he says while smear campaigns are nothing new in American politics, the left has elevated it to an art form. We will hear from Brad Miner. He is author of the book Smear Tactics, The Liberal Campaign to Defame America. And we will welcome your questions for him, maybe even your challenges. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And please include your first name and your community with your email. We will talk with Brad Miner about what he calls some of the most atrocious smear campaigns of the recent past, and we'll also talk with him about what kind of mudslinging he says is already taking place or will likely take place during the presidential campaign. He says the 2008 presidential race promises to be the dirtiest smear campaign ever run by the left. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Brad Miner is the former editor-in-chief of Bookspan and was the founding editor of the American Compass Book Club, a former literary editor of the National Review. He is the author of The Concise Conservative Encyclopedia and his latest book, Smear Tactics, The Liberal Campaign to Defame America. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's a pretty strong title, The Liberal Campaign to Defame America.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, Joy. Maybe it should be up front in the book, but it's actually in the last chapter where I talk about this terminology, liberal, conservative, left, right. Some of these words are appropriate and some are not. It really is the left we're talking about. Publishers like words that scan better with the public, so the subtitle is not the left's campaign to defame America, but the liberal campaign to defame America.
Yeah. So what's
the
difference?
In fact, I consider myself to be a classical liberal.
Well, all right. Well, but to talk about what you know, who the left is, and why that's not necessarily a liberal.
Right. Well, the traditionally, you know, as you no doubt know, these words have their genesis in France. Particularly in the period just before the French Revolution, where it, literally in the French Assembly, in the Estates Generales, they sat the royalist religious party on the right of the Assembly and the more progressive revolutionary forces on the left, and that terminology has stuck with us. But the key thing is this. The right, as it has traditionally been understood, believes in monarchy, in the union of the state and the church, in a kind of oligarchy in business, and Americans have never really believed in those things. We fought our revolution in beginning in the late 18th century against all of that. The left, on the other hand, is a kind of international point of view. The idea that elites should be in charge of planning a society, that there needs to be centralization, that in both in politics, bureaucratically, and in economics, and to some extent, you know, the sort of banishment of religion from public life. That's what the French left believes, it's what the German left believes, and it's what the American left believes. And in my view, as a classical liberal, and I'm happy with the word conservative, but you know, the attacks that you see from the left on patriots, soldiers, Christians, businessmen, go not just at the individuals. Smears always go at individuals. And there are plenty of smears done by people on the so-called right, by conservatives against liberals. But the left smears are also against the institutions themselves, that is to say, against patriotism, military service, religion, and the free market.
Yeah, and so for the purposes of our discussion, the left or the liberals who are doing this smearing are who?
Well, for instance, you have the MoveOn.org group. Their attack on General Petraeus before he gave his testimony to Congress is an example, calling him General Betrayus. Mm-hmm. The groups that are run by a couple of the big unions that are trying to get into Walmart, that run websites, Wake Up Walmart and Walmart Watch, frequently accusing the executives of Walmart of being criminals, is an example. There have been a spate of books on the bestseller list against religion, which is fine. People have a right to their opinions. But Kevin Phillips wrote one of the most famous of those books called American Theocracy. Mm-hmm. And he literally says in the book that Christians engaged in politics in the United States are the same as the mullahs in Iran. And so it's that kind of thing that I think goes over the line and is... It attempts to demean not just the individuals involved, but rather the institutions that are behind those individuals.
Yeah. So it's not to say that a Democrat is a... You're not condemning or saying all Democrats are doing this.
No, I'm not. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. No, matter of fact, let me read something to you just briefly. Tell me what you think this comes from. It is our prayerful hope that the people whom we have so faithfully served will renew the mandate to continue our service, and that Almighty God may grant us the wisdom to succeed. It goes on and on. Like, would you care to guess what that's from?
No, go ahead.
That is from the Democratic Party platform of 1952.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was not so long ago that the two political parties and the people, you know, on sort of either end of what those parties represented were not so far apart.
Yeah. Well, what's the difference between someone criticizing an institution or an individual and someone smearing them?
Well, there's a distinction to be made between insults, for instance, and smears, and proper dissent and criticism and smears. A smear, well, let's just take an example. Examples are always best to illustrate. The MoveOn.org General Betray Us ad. In the ad and then in the website that explained the ad, because MoveOn was, I think, a little bit surprised at the amount of heat they took, mm-hmm. even from liberals, about that ad, they say that General Petraeus has a history of lying, that he lied before, that before the election of 2004, they say, and by the way, what they're referring to is an op-ed piece that he did at the behest of the Washington Post, that may or may not, from the standpoint of the Washington Post, been about the election, although you can hardly suggest that the Washington Post was a big Bush partisan, in which he said that there were good things happening in Iraq. Now, in that article, as in his testimony later on, General Petraeus also said that there was a lot of problems going on. That was especially true in the article that he did for the Post in 2004. So you take a fact, rip it out of context, and then use that one fact to, or partial fact, to characterize the entire statements made by the man or the man himself. And to have gone to the extent of saying that David Petraeus was betraying the American people. By the way, of course, that ad that ran in the New York Times that MoveOn.org bought at a deep discount ran before he'd uttered a single word of his testimony to Congress. To do that, it seems to me, is to smear the man, to suggest that he is not a good person, not someone loyally serving his country, not doing what he thinks is right. And I think that was an example of a smear, and why it's a smear.
Yeah, we're not going to spend the whole hour debating that particular ad. And you're right, MoveOn did take a lot of heat for that ad. But I also remember the qualification that ad included the question mark: will he betray us, or is he General Betray Us? As in just questioning, not necessarily saying that he will betray us.
Well, with respect, I think that's slicing the bologna a little thin, don't you?
Yeah.
Not my program to give opinions on. What about? Well, let me take a short pause. Our lines are full. We'll get our listeners in on this discussion with Brad Miner. He is the author of Smear Tactics: The Liberal Campaign to Defame America. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up this afternoon, it's Talk of the Nation. And after 1 o'clock, Ken Rudin will be on for a mega-sized edition of The Political Junkie, talking about the latest in politics, including Oprah on the campaign trail. That's Talk of the Nation after 1 this afternoon. We're talking politics to some extent during this hour. Our guest is Brad Miner. He is the author of the book Smear Tactics. Brad Miner, a former editor-in-chief of Bookspan and founding editor of the American Compass Book Club and former literary editor of the National Review. And before I go to the phones, Brad Miner, you had mentioned before that Republicans or those on the right have also participated in smear campaigns. Is this book to say that the left are better at it, the left are worse at it?
No, I think that both sides are probably pretty far along in terms of their mastery and subtleties in doing these things. To some extent, this book is a pox on both your houses book. Again, my only concern is that there is in the smears of the left an attack on the fundamental institutions of Americanism, that in fact, particularly with young people who are getting sort of besieged by media and by the experience in college, the left being dominant in both most media, talk radio maybe being an exception, and certainly in the universities, that there's simply an unrelenting kind of negativity that comes out. For instance, with regard to business, I think the free market in the United States and enterprise are key elements to the greatness and success of this country. If you're watching television, you're about, according to some research, 20 times more likely to be, if you're a character in a television drama, 20 times more likely to be kidnapped or murdered by a businessman than by the mob. And that kind of constant, running down of the idea of enterprise is perhaps in the long run a danger to us. So that's sort of the key to what this book is about. And why the emphasis is on the left rather than on the whole spectrum, although I give examples in the book of cases in which, for instance, Cindy Sheehan and John Kerry and others have been smeared.
We have an email from Kathy in Eau Claire who says, "A smear by any other name may be the truth. In many cases, this government needs lots of truth-telling, and it probably sounds like smears. While so upset by MoveOn.org, we hear no sounds from the right during the Swift Boat ads on John Kerry's service or the attack on Max Cleland. Talk about smears."
Well, I talk about both of those things in the book, specifically about Kerry. He's complicated things by having said that he would release his full military record, never having done so. But I cite specifically the testimony of one of the people who was with John Kerry. The Swift Boat veteran said that the notion that John Kerry had pulled a man out of the water at one point, saving his life, was an exaggeration by Kerry. But the man whose life was saved by Kerry has testified that it happened exactly as John Kerry said. You remember also when John Kerry was out in California and he made a speech and he made his famous botched joke saying that if you don't study hard, you'll end up in Iraq?
Yeah.
It was really meant to be, it was John Kerry going off the reservation, so to speak. He had prepared text. He didn't use his prepared text. He'd been in Texas the day before, had given the same remarks, and it was a specific reference to George W. Bush, not to the people serving in Iraq or Afghanistan. But the blogosphere, particularly the conservative blogosphere, went off on a tear and accused him of saying that that the servicemen in Iraq and Afghanistan weren't smart enough to be back home. And so I point out that, in fact, I think John Kerry was ill-used by conservatives in that situation.
Yeah. Well, let's take some calls. Yvonne and Brown Deer, hi, you're on the air.
Yes. I have a question first for the guest. I've been listening from the beginning. Your statements just now, I wasn't sure if you were saying that this book is evenly tempered in what you say in it. It sounds to me like you looked at things that were unfair, and you're including them as examples of what you're saying, but they so even if it doesn't make any difference, it was Democrats or Republicans that were doing it.
Yeah, I get the sense from what I've read of the book, Brad Miner, that you really are more upset about the smear campaigns coming from the left.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'd like to think that there is some balance in the book. But look, I am a conservative. That is my point of view. I also, as I have said now several times, I probably shouldn't continue to repeat myself, but I think that the smears of the left are attacks not just on individuals but also on the institutions, whereas the smears of the right, to the extent that there really is a right, are mostly about individuals. Now, if you happen to be an individual who's being smeared, you couldn't care less what the agenda behind it all happens to be, because you've been smeared, and it's a terrible experience when it happens. And it should never happen. But I don't want anyone to think that this book doesn't have a particular bias. It does. I am a conservative.
Yeah, and you have said it a number of times that you are concerned about this, the target being the institution. Why is that so troubling? That someone might want to smear Walmart.
Well, but if people have objections to the policies of Walmart, that's one thing. I mean, I think that there are things that Walmart does. I was on the Fox Business Channel yesterday, and one of the hosts, David Asman, said he has a friend at Forbes who's sort of a conservative and has been attacking Walmart for years. And I said, yes, but he's probably not smearing Walmart. There's a difference between raising objections to specific policies and attacking the idea of the free market, suggesting that somehow Sam Walton's genius was that he could make money off of poverty. It seems to me that that's beyond the pale. That's not what Walmart is about. It's not what they do. And to the extent that we run down the free market, the idea of faith and the role it plays in American life, the institution of military service, and even of patriotism itself, I think that's a danger to the long-term health of the country.
Yeah. You do talk a lot in the book, though, about the smearing of President Bush as an individual.
Yes. Well, I think that, you know, part of what this book is about is the actual character of smears. And I think that the attacks on Bush have often been over the top. Now, I happen not to be a huge fan of the current president of the United States, for a number of reasons. But during, for instance, the Hurricane Katrina, he was accused of all manner of terrible things, even up to and including being responsible for the intensity of the storm. And when you take a look at those attacks, you realize that they're ideologically based. They're not just attacks on George W. Bush, but on the idea of Republican leadership, of perhaps even the presidency itself, and there's hidden in them often another kind of agenda, but also I think a fundamental misunderstanding about the traditional and, in fact, constitutional relationship between the branches of government and the levels of government. The national government has tertiary responsibilities in a natural disaster. That's why you always hear governors reaching out to the president, asking him to declare, and then the president declaring an area to be a disaster area, and then sending in federal assistance. Right at the start of the storm, people were already complaining that Bush hadn't done enough, whereas the first responsibilities were with Mayor Nagin and Governor Blanco, and then only in a tertiary sense would the federal government have come into it. Not to mention that the idea that George W. Bush was somehow responsible for global warming, it's just nonsense.
Another caller, Earl in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I would like to say to the guest that I went to my dictionary recently, and I looked up the word liberal, and the definition read something similar to that liberal was for change, for equality, that type of thing. So then I went and looked up conservative, and conservative said that it is, conservatives are for the status quo, keeping things as they are. So if we're talking about our young people in college or school being taught that we should all be equal, that everybody has the same rights, if we went back to keeping the status quo, we'd still have slavery in the United States because there were people bound and determined not to change the status quo. So when we hear all of this liberal media bias, I'd like the guest to tell me why that liberalism, as taught to me in school, is so bad. And I'd like to know where that liberal media
Earl, that's kind of changing the subject on us, though. What, I mean, what did you want to talk about in terms of smear politics or smear tactics?
Well, the best way to deflect criticism of your own smear campaigns is to get out there and right away accuse the other side of going to do that so that you're deflecting the criticism away from your base when they do it.
You're just deflecting the criticism away from conservatives by putting the spotlight on liberals or the left, Brad Miner?
Well, listen, I think we talked a little bit earlier on about the what these words mean and the confusions that are associated with them. Going to the dictionary is certainly one way to get a grasp of what liberal and conservative might mean, but, you know, obviously they have conventional meanings that don't necessarily emerge from the pages of a dictionary. In terms of smear tactics, I can't emphasize enough that both my book and certainly I express the belief that all sides smear. There's no doubt about that. Now, whether or not there is, as a lot of people on the left like to say, a right-wing smear machine, I think that overstates it. I don't think there's a left-wing smear machine either. I don't think that this is organized. It's the sort of spontaneous thing that happens in the heat of political debate. And again, either I'm right or I'm wrong that the left is out to change the country in a particular way, adopting policies and programs that it seems to me are simply not in the tradition of what we have traditionally believed in the United States, and that's part of what's behind the attacks that they make on patriot soldiers, Christians, and businessmen.
Thank you, Earl. Catherine in Minneapolis. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. The reason that I wanted to call is because I'm a Methodist and I'm also a Democrat, and I often feel that the left is maligned in the sense that we're made out to be un-Christian or non-Christian, when in fact one of the reasons that we're concerned with places like Walmart, one of the reasons we feel that Walmart employees should receive a living wage, that's part of our being Christian, looking out for people. One of the main things that Christ talks about is poverty and taking care of the poor, and that is one of the main things that Democrats and people on the left are concerned about. That's one of the things that, you know, Edwards is focusing his campaign on. And I just feel, I often feel maligned, and I often feel that Democrats, you know, don't get recognized for being Christian, and I think that has, you know, was part of, you know, Carl Rove's campaign against us, to try to make us look like we're not part of the majority, when in a very real sense, we are.
Mm-hmm. Comment, Brad Miner?
Well, I understand, and I would never suggest that there aren't Christians or faithful Jews or Muslims in the Democratic Party. No doubt there are. However, it is more the Democratic Party and the left especially that's trying to drive religion out of the public square. She mentioned specifically Walmart and seeing to it that the people at Walmart get a living wage. Well, the average Walmart worker makes about $10 an hour. That's twice the federal minimum wage. And Walmart reduces the cost of living in the United States by something like, $250 billion a year. Walmart provides tremendous opportunity for lots of people. It is not a perfect institution. By virtue of the fact that it's the world's largest retailer, it has plenty of problems. It has been called to task both by private individuals and by the government on a number of occasions, and it has undertaken reforms to its policies. But it seems to me that the constant portrayal of Walmart as somehow an enemy is a smear, and it's a mistake.
Yeah. But you say the, what is the smear tactics the left is employing, according to you, against people of faith or Christians in particular?
Well, again, I think I said earlier, you know, there was a book not long ago. There are a bunch of books on the bestseller list that are sort of anti-Christian in their point of view. That's fine. That's the right of the people who are writing those books. But in the case of American Theocracy, which was probably the biggest of the bestsellers of this kind, Kevin Phillips specifically says, although he tends not to name specific individuals, but I think he's talking about Pat Robertson and the late Jerry Falwell and perhaps James Dobson of Focus on the Family, that these Christians engaged in politics, who happen to be conservative as well, are the same as the mullahs who run Iran. He says it's the same phenomenon, and therefore America is at risk from these people of becoming a theocracy. Now, I think that based on the evidence, if you listen to these individuals, the politically committed Christians, there's no evidence to support such an assertion. Therefore, I think it's a smear.
Yeah, and one passage in his book, though, doesn't make a smear campaign from the left, does it?
Well, I think it indicates the tenor of the campaign that is underway to demean faith as a part of American politics. The constant harping on the notion that the First Amendment's call for a separation of church and state means that religious ideas can't be a part of the political conversation. That's simply not what the Constitution says. And to assert that the people who are prayerful in public, as perhaps George W. Bush sometimes is, or as others have been, that they are like the Taliban, is a smear. And that gets said a lot.
Next we go to Zalman in Fish Creek. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you very much. I would like to ask your guest if this particular quote is against our government institutions and hence a smear from the left. It is the duty of every patriot to protect his country from the government. That quote is from Thomas Paine, many, many years ago. I'd like to hear this guest's comments on that.
Well, I happen to think that, there's certainly some truth in the statement. Paine, of course, wasn't talking about the United States. He was talking about England. But at the same time, I think we all recognize that we have a responsibility to be vigilant about our liberties and about the extent to which the government may, at some time or other forces in society, diminish those liberties. You know, conservatives, by tradition, and this is part of my objection to George W. Bush, is that it seems to me he's sort of, you know, the field has been ceded to him in terms of defining what conservatism is, and he's a big government guy. Conservatives are not big government people. We would like to see the scope and power of the national government diminished, that the rights, as the Constitution suggests in its coda, which are the Ninth and the Tenth Amendments, those powers not specifically delegated to the national government belong to the state and to the people. And I think that very much is in the spirit of what Paine was suggesting. So I don't think that that Payne's comment was a smear. I think it was a prescient comment, and one that we, you know, I mean, as you know, the American Civil Liberties Union has taken. I think it's from Payne, perhaps Jefferson, the famous comment that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance.
Thank you, Zalman. Next, we go to Marty in Beloit. Hi, Marty. You're on the air.
Hi. I feel this way, and I think a lot of people do, that George Bush is the worst president we've ever had. It's not that he has made a mistake or two. He's made so many of them, and we as a country are suffering. For example, he lied to us about Iraq being part of 9/11.
Yeah, and he can go on a long list. So what's your point, though, Marty, when it comes to...
Well, because when you have what I would say is, you know, the worst president we've ever had, you have to criticize him. I mean, there's so many things, you know, like tax benefits to the rich only, and...
And our guest is going to say criticism is one thing, lying and smearing and is another.
I would answer him this way. We had a pretty good president by the name of Bill Clinton, and what the right did to him was appalling. And I just feel that, sure, there's some animosity in the left and people like me, because believe me, if Bill Clinton would have been president, we'd not have been in all these messes.
Yeah. What's your reaction, Brad Miner, to, I guess, Marty's general theme there is that President Bush really is doing a bad job as president and deserves these insults?
Well, you said it, Joy. I mean, there's a difference between dissent and even an insult and a smear. For instance, at the time of Katrina, Charlie Rangel, congressman from New York, referred to Bush as our Bull Connor. If you remember, Bull Connor was the segregationist police chief from one of the towns down in Mississippi. Kanye West, in that telethon that was done to raise money for Katrina victims, said that George W. Bush doesn't care about black people. This constant notion, this repetition of the meme that George W. Bush is a racist, that he's indolent, that he's stupid. I mean, all of these things detract from addressing the specific issues. And I don't disagree to some extent with many of the criticisms that have been made against the man. It's just that it helps us not at all to overdo it, to overstate it, to the point where people have these wild notions about who this man is. He's not the liar that people say he is. He's not the dope that people say he is. And, love him or hate him, you know, it's another year and then that's that.
Brad Miner, our guest, former editor-in-chief of Bookspan, founding editor of the American Compass Book Club, a former literary editor of National Review. He is the author of the book Smear Tactics, The Liberal Campaign to Defame America. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Do you think the left is guilty of smear campaigns? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock, talking with her first guest this morning about the latest on that Middle East peace summit, and the latest on Israeli-Palestinian negotiations. That's coming up after 9 o'clock. We're talking with Brad Miner, author of Smear Tactics, and an email from Norman Madison goes on to say, his repeated assertion that the left smears don't just attack individuals but attack the essence of America is ludicrous, unless you agree with him that the essence of America is business as usual. The essence of America includes the liberty to speak one's mind as one sees fit. It also includes the liberty of others to point out falsehoods. The left is not trying to change the essence of America. We're trying to bring the country back to it. What's your reaction to that, Brad Miner?
Well, again, you know, any political conversation of this sort is fluid. For all I know, he's right about what he believes. But I do think that, you know, that there are people in the left who don't believe in democracy, believe ultimately in a kind of dictatorship of the proletariat, who want centralization in the government, management of economic affairs, the kinds of things that that will ultimately erode our liberties. Let me give you an example of a kind of policy smear. There's been a lot of attention given recently to health and nutrition, as indeed there should be. And the New York City Council passed a ban on trans fats in the city's restaurants. Now, this was primarily a consequence of the ongoing campaigns against McDonald's in Super Size Me, in Fast Food Nation, and books like and films like that. But, you know, what it's saying basically, this liberal city council is saying to the people of New York, we don't think you're smart enough to manage your food choices, so we're going to take away from you this particular liberty and force restaurants to provide meals prepared in a different way. Now, it seems to me that that is a diminishment of the liberty of the people. It is the assumption that they can't make choices based upon such information as available to them, whether they wish to embrace the facts or not. But that kind of thing, as it begins to gather steam, is liable to lead us back into another era of prohibition. I mean, in a way, it is a kind of prohibition, and I think it's wrong, and it's the way in which these liberal policies can ultimately begin to diminish our liberties.
Tim and Ladysmith is with us now. Hi, Tim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I love your guest. I'm one of those lone conservatives that listen to public radio oftentimes, and I think one of the things we see on the left, I think Michelle Mawkin's book, Liberals Unhinged, is an excellent example of how the left is so mean-spirited oftentimes. But very hypocritical, thinking that no, we're the policy, we're the public, we're the people with the open mind. I find that most people on the left are very often very not open-minded, very narrow-minded. And one of the people that called in just made an example of a smear campaign that started with Michael Moore's movie Fahrenheit 9/11, and that was that the president lied to us to get us into Iraq. There's no evidence that the president lied to us. He took the same evidence everybody else had. He may have made some bad choices, but to blatantly say, well, he just blatantly lied to us, is just absolutely a smear campaign.
Is that a good guess? Thank you very much, Tim. Is that a smear, Brad Miner?
Well, as I say, I think Tim's right. I mean, say what you will about specific policies, about the administration's failure to empower the American military in Iraq to, for instance, interdict the borders between Saudi Arabia, Syria, and Iran, the sort of cozy relationship we have with the Saudis. But when you go back to the first instance, to that moment in the Oval Office in which the head of the CIA, George Tenet, said that told the President of the United States that the evidence, and he was getting this also from French intelligence and British intelligence, Bob Woodward reports this in his book Plan of Attack, that the evidence for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq was a slam dunk. You know, in the situation of 9/11, if you're the President of the United States, I'm not sure how you do other than what George W. Bush did. Now, again, that's not to say that every policy that followed therefrom was appropriate, but I don't think that the lie, that fundamental lie that so many people refer to about the onset, stands up to the facts.
Next we go to, I wanted to ask you, you talked in your book too about, and we hear that, the insult certainly from time to time on this program where George Bush is referred to as a fascist, or compared to Nazi Germany, the way rights are being clamped down on, or that sort of thing. You consider that a smear campaign from the left?
Yeah. Well, look, I think that there are certain, you know, if someone says George W. Bush is an idiot, that's an insult. If you say George W. Bush is a fascist or a racist, frankly, I think that's a smear. And there are two problems with that. One, I don't think there's any evidence to indicate that he's either thing. So in the first instance, it's a false charge against the man. But more important than that, particularly with the word fascist, You're just diminishing the meaning of the word. A fascist is someone who believes specific things, takes a particular approach to power. Come on, George W. Bush hasn't done any of that. Our liberties haven't been diminished one iota. You know, you can make arguments about the appropriateness of the FISA warrants and the wiretapping of foreign telephone calls between terrorist suspects and people in the United States. Fine, you want to have a debate about that, it's okay, it's appropriate. But to suggest that that is fascism, it ignores the evidence about what fascism really is and how fascism has really functioned.
Next, we go to Derek in Round Lake. Hi, Derek.
Yes, good morning. Good show. I got a few things I would like to say and also ask Mr. Miner a question. As a person that originally covered a lot of the different stories from different countries on the receiving of the American foreign policy, I have one view. As a person that came to this country legally, became an American, believing the parts such as, you know, rights of the Constitution and democracy, what have you, I have another view. Formerly, from being a country where Mr. Miner just recently just said, from the dictatorship of proletariat, I have seen the deja vu of my old times repeated here now, past 7 years. So I think that the argument stating that, you know, the talking point that Mr. Miner tends to perceive, such as, you know, this is still a democratic country, and, you know, no matter what happens, we're still able to, you know, go to the bright future under the great, you know, glory views of the conservatism, is his personal view. And I think his book is basically one of those talking points being constantly reinforced by the right in this country, which doesn't really want to address the real issues in this country, such as health care, war in Iraq, and a lot of different issues, which I think population should be really well educated enough to really start asking questions where they belong. And my question to Mr. Miner would be, how dare you to say things such as you're the ultimate person that determines whether something is a smear or something is a truth? First of all, you don't have enough intellectual.
No. So it's not really a question. Derek, what is the question is?
The question is basically, how would somebody who actually does not have enough of experience living in a different country, seeing what's really going on, that this government and this country, piece by piece, is losing any kind of credibility, international.
You know, I'm sorry, Derek. I think what he's going to say, Brad Miner, is who are you to say whether something's a smear or the truth?
Well, I'm a guy who's studied this stuff carefully. I've been around media for 30 years and have watched it and cataloged it, and I've written a book. I don't suppose that I am the ultimate authority, but I really don't have much to say about his little autobiographical speech.
Steve in Houston, Texas. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. This is a great show, and your guest has made some really, really valid points, and it's time these points are raised. I would say that what really concerns me is the smearing of Christianity, of particularly conservative Christianity that holds traditional morals and values with respect to the family and the rights of the family, protecting the institution of marriage and defining it as a man and a woman and not anything else. And particularly African Americans, I'm really happy that we have an African American running for president. I had a chance to meet Barack Obama at a prayer breakfast in Chicago about 6 years ago. But he is, from what I can see, and I have a lot of African American friends, is that he's a minority. And this is, I guess, my point is that conservative Christians, particularly African Americans in America, this is becoming a more and more important issue, are very conservative in their traditional morals and values. And that those that have risen to prominence in America, like Clarence Thomas, who I believe his constitutional views are accurate, or Condoleezza Rice, and there are thousands of examples, are smeared. They're laughed at, they're mocked, they're made fun of, they're taunted. And African Americans who are liberal, like Barack Obama, he is actually very liberal, and he holds a lot of views that are extremely liberal, are praised, as being great leaders. And the same with Jesse Jackson. And it's really a tragedy because it's a lopsided view of the reality of the values and morals that I see being on the front line trenches in the African American community. And this is doing a great disservice to America.
Yeah. Do you see conservative African Americans being smeared, Brad Miner?
Well, I think it's sometimes difficult for my friend Thomas Sowell and people like Walter Williams and others have often been attacked as being Uncle Tom's, for instance. That's the classic smear against an African-American who doesn't hold what are fundamentally Democratic Party values. However, you know, I mean, I don't have anything to say about Barack Obama. I think, you know, just specifically with regard to him, I think his time has not yet come, but I suspect it will, and I won't be surprised to see him get to the White House. I think it's always difficult when you're a part of a particular group that has a strong group identity and your own individual feelings differ from that group. There have been instances in which, as I say, various black writers have been referred to as Uncle Toms, and when that happens, it's a smear. But I think it happens less and less. I think people like Sowell and Williams and Shelby Steele and others have found a very wide audience. As to whether or not African Americans are actually more fundamentally conservative than people imagine, I don't know. There have often been people who've suggested that because of religious faith, the black community is in fact more fundamentally conservative. But there's also no doubt that their voting patterns don't seem to indicate that.
Yeah, Ben in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I served in the Marines for 5 years and two tours in Iraq, and I'm a conservative evangelical Christian, and I don't see what your guest is talking about. What I see him doing is committing the fallacy of hasty generalization, where you apply a few examples to the whole of liberals. And what I also see him doing is something similar to Senator McCarthy in the 50s with a smear campaign against anyone that disagreed with the right, calling them a communist and blacklisting them, and now what he's doing is calling them liberals and blacklisting them. And
We got to give the last minute to Brad Miner.
Well, I think it's very difficult in even an hour-long interview as this has been to get the sense of the book. I suspect if the caller had a chance to take a look at smear tactics, he wouldn't find it McCarthyite at all. As I say, I cite plenty of examples of smears done by both sides. But again, I'm going to stick to my original point. I think that the left, the true left, does smear the institutions of this country, including the college evangelical faith.
And we'll leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Brad Miner, author of Smear Tactics, The Liberal Campaign to Defame America. Brad Miner, former literary editor of National Review, former editor-in-chief of Bookspan, and founding editor of the American Compass Book Club. Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing the program. Thanks to Christina Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening and for calling in. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, you can order one at the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.